بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only one, that gave us this opportunity and this chance to be amongst this beautiful gathering, the gatherings of angels, the gatherings in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised good for those who seek knowledge. May yuridillahu bi khayran yafaqihu fi ddin. The whom shall Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, Allah will increase their knowledge in Islam. And this is the way that if you want to know the good that Allah is giving you, see how much Allah increases your knowledge of Islam. See how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors of knowledge for you. The more of that is the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting good for you and wanting better and wanting you to obtain goodness from Him Almighty and Glory. As you all are aware, or most of you are aware, today's lecture is focusing about this important event that we are in. It is the beginning of a new Islamic calendar, a new lunar year, a new Hijra year, the year 1432. During the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Islamic State expanded and the Muslims reached as far the east and the west, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from his wisdom, he realized that as Muslims, we can no longer continue following the pre-Islamic calendar or the calendar that's based on non-Islamic events. He said to himself, as Muslims and as a superpower at that time, we need to have our own Islamic calendar. We need to have our own calendar that we remember events on. We mark events. We remember dates. So some of them said, that's a great idea. How about we begin that calendar from the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And others said, how about let it be from the day of the prophecy, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first revealed His first revelation to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another one said, how about we mark it from the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Another one said from this event, another one said from that event, until one decided and said, how about we begin it from the Hijra, from the time of the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina. And we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, by the age of 40, he received the revelation. He stayed in Mecca for 13 years, calling to Islam as a prophet and a messenger. And then after 13 years, the Prophet ﷺ migrated from Mecca to Medina, and he stayed in Medina for just little under 10 years, and that's when he ﷺ passed away. So at the end, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from his wisdom, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from his piety, from his leadership, he said, this is the best suggestion, and let us begin our Islamic calendar from the year of the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is the year that marks the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which now, just 3 days ago, we marked a new Islamic Hijrah year, which is 1432. 1432 represents 1432 years from the year of the Hijrah. From the year of the Hijrah. Now a lot of people ask and say, so does it mean the first month, which is the first month of the Islamic year, or the first month of the lunar year, it is the month of Muharram, which is the month that we're in right now. Is that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam migrated to Medina? No. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam migrated in Rabi' al-Awwal. In Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam arrived to Medina in Rabi' al-Awwal, on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, according to the majority of the scholars on that date. But most of them say it was in Rabi' al-Awwal. Rabi' al-Awwal is the third month. Rabi' al-Awwal is the third month of the Islamic lunar year. Is the third month of the Islamic lunar year. So the Hijra year represents the year that the Prophet ﷺ migrated in. And the beginning of the Hijra year, it marks that within that year, that's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. But it does not mean the beginning of the Hijri year, that's when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Medina on Rabi' al-Awwal, which is the third month of the Hijri year, or the Islamic lunar calendar. As a Muslim, I need to acknowledge that I have my own identity, and I have my own independent identity, and my own independent calendar, that I follow calendar, follow events on, I follow main events on, I remember remarkable and memorable events, I follow day to day of my life according to it. When we fast Ramadan, we fast Ramadan based on what? On the lunar year. When we go to Hajj, we go on the days based on the lunar year. When we fast Arafah, on the lunar year. When we fast Ashura, that we'll be talking about, on the lunar year. When we remember great remarkable moments throughout the time of the Prophet ﷺ, such as the Battle of Badr, such as the Battle of Uhud, such as the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, such as the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Remembering that, not celebrating, remembering that. Remembering those great battles, the Battle of Ahzab, the Battle of Al-Khandaq, the Battle of Khaybar. These battles all based on what? All based on the lunar year. So it's important for me as a Muslim to acknowledge that and know that. Most Muslims these days, if they do know that they have an Islamic calendar, they don't know the month of the Islamic calendar. And it's important for me to know that and follow each month by month, to know that right now, this month that I'm in, it is the month of Muharram. Next month is Safar. The following one is Rabi' al-Awwal, then Rabi' al-Thani, then Jamad al-Ula, then Jamad al-Thani. Then Rajab, then Sha'ban, then Ramadan, then Shawwal, then Dhul Qa'dah, then Dhul Hijjah. It's important for me to know that and teach my kids that. There is nothing wrong, and absolutely nothing wrong with following the solar calendar, following the normal calendar that we are basing our life and day-to-day events and day-to-day life, such as, you know, we are right now in December and it's 2010. There is nothing wrong with following that. There is nothing wrong with booking your appointments and dates and basing your life on it. But at the same time, it's also important to know that you have your own Islamic calendar and there are events and important events that you need to follow based on the Islamic calendar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem. Inna indat ash-shuhur inda Allah 12 shahr yawma khalaq as-samawati wal-ard minha arba'atun hurum dhalika ad-din al-qayyim fala tadhlimu fihinna anfusakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that the number of months to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is 12 months from the day that Allah azza wa jalla created the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that set those 12 months. From amongst those 12 months, there are 4 sacred months. And we'll talk about the sacredness of those 4 months. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the correct and straight religion. فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not transgress or oppress yourselves. So my brothers in Islam and my sisters in Islam, it is important to know that being a Muslim is that I have my own independent identity. Not only that I believe in Islam, not that I follow Islam, not that I just, you know, imitate and follow the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, but even when it comes to our day-to-day life, even when it comes to counting the days, even when it comes to, you know, pointing out days or remembering days, it goes to our Islamic calendar, which we just started a new Islamic year 3 days ago, and that's the year of 1432 Hijra, reminding us of that great event that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through and participated in, him and his great companions, that it is a moment that changed history, which is the Hijra of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A migration that was for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla, nothing else but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When him and his companions sacrificed their own land, their own town, their own people, their own tribe, their own houses, their own wealth, to migrate to a strange place, somewhere which is new to them, a strange place for them to settle in, to a strange tribe that they've never met before, all that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all that to establish Islam and to spread the light of Islam and to teach people Islam and to call people and to bring them to Islam. From there, from that moment and there, the light of Islam had spread to the east and the west. From there and from that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread this beautiful religion that reached to the east and the west. And we are from amongst the results of that great sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And that migration, my brothers and sisters, within that migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, within the hijra of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, there is not just one lesson to learn, but there are so many lessons to learn that at the end of the day, it is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes first. And at the end of the day, it is Islam that has priority in your life. And when it came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and the companions to sacrifice their own towns, the own cities, the own families, they did not hesitate to do that for the sake of Allah. And this is the state of the Muslim at every time and era. When it comes to Allah Azza wa Jalla, when it comes to sacrificing for Allah, or when it comes to Islam, they do not hesitate because Islam is the most important thing in their life. They live for Islam and they die for Islam and they want to be resurrected amongst the Muslims with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Hijrah, my brothers and sisters, it not only that teaches us the great sacrifice, but also teaches us that the importance of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the importance of the obedience to Allah and His Messenger. That when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to migrate, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum did not hesitate to migrate. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to do so, that did not even make him think twice, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla establishing the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also teaches us the sacrifice of the people of Medina, how they welcomed strange people to them. But yet, it was the brotherhood of Islam that was more important to them than the brotherhood of blood. That one of them, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wa sallam, was assigning a companion from Mecca to be a brother with a companion from Medina. Those from Mecca that were called the Muhajirin, and those from Medina that were called the Ansar. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assigned Abdul Rahman ibn Awf from Mecca to be a brother with Sa'd ibn Rabi' from Medina. So look at the generosity of those companions. Sa'd ibn Rabi' said to Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, "O brother, by Allah, I am amongst the people who have wealth in Medina. I'll give you half of my wealth, take it and do whatever you want to do. And I've got two wives. Look at which one you desire most, and I'll divorce her, and after her iddah get married to her." This sacrifice that's coming from this strange man to this strange man, from this man that I just met this man, but what made them sacrifice that sacrifice? It is Islam, which means to them the brotherhood of Islam comes before any other brotherhood. The brotherhood of Islam comes before the brotherhood of blood. The brotherhood of Islam comes before the brotherhood of race. The brotherhood of Islam comes before the brotherhood of anything else. The brotherhood of Islam, and only the brotherhood of Islam. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, when we look into the Hijra, we learn a lot. And we learn that sacrifice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions towards Islam. And for us to sacrifice like them. And many of us wish that they were at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or around the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and the companions to sacrifice like the sacrifices they sacrificed. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Ibadatun fil harj kahijratin ilay." Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, a worship, worshipping Allah, obeying Allah during the times of corruptions, during the times of afflictions, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the times of fitna, it is like migrating to me. What does he sallallahu alayhi wasallam say again? He says, worshipping Allah during the time of fitna, during the time of afflictions, during the time of corruptions, worshipping Allah and obeying Allah, worshipping Allah and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these times, which are the times that we live in these days, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is like migrating to me. It is like migrating to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful hadith from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he and Islam till this day, even after the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to share the rewards of the migration with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by worshipping Allah during times of fitna, during times of afflictions, during times of corruptions. And no doubt, these times that we're in are the times of fitna, times of afflictions, times of confusion, times of temptations,
times where people are very, very, or people are so, people are very hard, or it's very hard for them to control their desires. So a worship, or worshipping Allah, obeying Allah during these times, is like migrating with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to miss out on the rewards of that migration, and the rewards of that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Him and never disobey Him, especially in times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mostly disobeyed than being obeyed. Wal-iyadu billah. May Allah make us from those who obey Him and never disobey Him. So this year, and at the beginning of every Hijrah year, we should always contemplate and ponder and remind ourselves and remember that great moment, that great sacrifice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How they left their town, how they left their homes, how they left their houses, left their families, left their parents, left their children, and migrated. Migrated on a road that was full of fear and terror for the sake of Allah and for the sake of the Messenger of Allah. What a great sacrifice. What a great sacrifice. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says that the hijrah, the migration, is to migrate from what disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hijrah is to migrate from what disobeys Allah azza wa jal. So if you want to migrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to share the same rewards, or close to the same rewards, of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, of the sacrifice that had sacrificed by them migrating from Mecca to Medina, then migrate from what Allah azza wa jal had forbidden. Keep yourself from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden. Keep yourself away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden. Keep yourself away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered us to keep away from. Keep away from the haram. Keep away from what disobeys Allah. Keep away from what displeases Allah. Keep away from what corrupts your heart. Keep away from what makes your iman lose. This is the hijrah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the types of things that we need to implement during this time, isn't it? These are the things that we need to follow during this moment. Is to keep away from the haram, to migrate from the haram, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to obey Allah azza wa jal during times of afflictions. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, worshipping Allah during the times of fitna is like migrating to me. Adding to that, my brothers and sisters, and I insist and emphasize on the importance of us as Muslims that we acknowledge and know of our own Islamic lunar calendar. Know that as a Muslim, I have my own independent calendar that the Islamic events revolve around. And this Islamic calendar begins from the Hijrah year, that right now we are in 1432, which we mark 1432 years from the time of the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And our Islamic calendar begins with the month of Allah Muharram. The month of Allah Muharram. So right now we are in the month of Allah Muharram. And why do I call it the month of Allah Muharram? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam referred to this month as the month of Allah. Referred to this month as the month of Allah Muharram. And he says in the hadith, in the authentic hadith, there is no better days to fast after the month of Ramadan than the month of Allah Muharram. There's no better days to fast in than after Ramadan than the month of Allah Muharram. And for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to refer to this month as the month of Allah, it's given it significance. It's given it a status. It's like when you say Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah. So you refer to this man as the Messenger of Allah, you've given him status. When you say this is the month of Allah, you've given it status. When you say this is the house of Allah, you've given it status. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam referred to the month of Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar, the Islamic year. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam referred to it as the month of Allah. The month of Allah. To give it that high status, to give it that high level, to give it that high value, that significance, and the importance of that month. And he sallallahu alayhi wasalam, as we mentioned in the hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, the best of fasting, after fasting the month of Ramadan, it is the fasting in the month of Allah, the month of Muharram. So our Islamic calendar begins with the month called Muharram. With a month called Muharram. And how many months in our Islamic calendar? There are 12 months. Like the solar year, 12 months. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that set those 12 months. Allah is the one that set those 12 months. It begins with Muharram and it ends with Dhul Hijjah. It begins with Muharram and it ends with Dhul Hijjah. And it's important for us, inshaAllah, to memorize the names and follow the months of the Islamic calendar that begins with Muharram. Then the second month is Safar. The third month is Rabi' al-Awwal. The fourth month is Rabi' al-Thani. The fifth month is Jamadi al-Ula. The sixth month is Jamadi al-Thani or Jamadi al-Ukhra. And then the seventh month is Rajab. Then Shawwal. Then Ramadan. Then Rajab, then Sha'ban. Then Ramadan. Then Shawwal. Then Dhul Qa'dah, then Dhul Hijjah. Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and then Dhul Hijjah. And if you find out how to memorize the volume 6x6, the first six is Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jamadi al-Ula, Jamadi al-Thani. Then the other six, it begins with Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah. Dhul Qa'dah, and then Dhul Hijjah. From amongst those 12 months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says in the hadith that's been narrated by Abi Bakr, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had created the heavens and the earth, and in that Allah azza wa jal had made 12 months. From amongst those 12 months, there are four sacred months. There are four sacred months. From the 12 months, there are four sacred months that we refer to them as Ashhur al-Hurum. Ashhur al-Hurum means the four sacred months. So from the 12, there are four sacred months. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that in his hadith, he says, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, wa Muharram, and then he says, wa Rajab Mudar, Bayna Jamadi wa Sha'ban. Bayna Jamadi wa Sha'ban. Okay. Four sacred months. What are those four sacred months? Three in sequence. 3 months come in sequence. It is Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and then Muharram. Dhul Qa'dah is the 11th month. Dhul Hijjah is the 12th month. And Muharram is the first month. Those three come in sequence. And one isolated. Which one? Rajab. Rajab is the 7th month. Rajab is the 7th month. Before Rajab is Jamadi al-Ukhra or Thani, and after Rajab is Sha'ban. So 3 months come after each other, which is Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah and Muharram, and there is one by itself, and lonely, it's called Rajab. Those are called the sacred months, Ashhur al-Hurum. Who made them sacred? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in the Quran al-Kareem, Minha arba'atun hurum. From amongst the 12 months that Allah had created, there is four sacred months. What's this sacred months? The word sacred means special. The word sacred means something that has holiness, something that's sacred, something that's noble. And yes, those 4 months are more holy, more sacred than any other month. More holy and sacred than any other month. Obviously, the best month throughout the whole year is Ramadan. For many reasons. It is the month that we fast and it is the month that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the Quran al-Kareem. It is sacred and holy. But those 4 months have a different kind of sacredness. Have a different kind of holiness. Those 4 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says in the Quran al-Kareem, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمْ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمْ فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّا أَنفُسَكُمْ. From amongst the 12 months, there are four sacred months, which once again it is Rajab, the 7th month, Dhul Qa'dah, the 11th month, Dhul Hijjah, the 12th month, and Muharram, the first month of the Islamic year. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, this is the straight religion, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not transgress or oppress yourselves. Which means, transgression, oppression, sins, corruption, during those 4 months are a lot more greater in the sight of Allah than any other month. A sin to be committed in those 4 months is a lot more greater in its sins, in its evilness, than any other month. Not only that, even the penalty that to be applied for someone committing a crime or corruption during those 4 months is a lot more harsher than any other month. Why? Because there are sacred months. Those sacred months should be respected, and those sacred months you should devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Arab before Islam, as the teachings they taught, or they've been taught by Ibrahim and Ismail, they used to respect those months. And that's why they would never fight in those months. And in Islam, we are not allowed to initiate any war or attack in those 4 months unless there is a darura, or there is a need, or unless there is defense. As a respect to those months. Those months are sacred months. Those months are moments for you to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Ramadan, it's a chance where you need to turn back to Allah azza wa jalla. Remember Allah. Those 4 months are also moments and times to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's recommended to fast those months. It's recommended to fast in those months. And the most month that's been recommended to fast in is the month of Muharram, which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam referred to it as the month of Allah, to give it that significance, to give it that status, the month of Allah, Muharram. And he says in the hadith that sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, there is no greater month to fast in after the month of Ramadan than the month of Allah, the month of Muharram, which we are in right now. And this month is called Muharram, which means sacred. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the year with a sacred month. And He also ended the year with a sacred month. Muharram is from that sacred month. Dhul-Hijjah is from that sacred month. Muharram is the first month of the year. Dhul-Hijjah is the last month of the year. So Allah began the year with a sacred month, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended the year with a sacred month. That you begin your actions, you begin to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of the year by fearing Allah, and by the end of the year fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every moment you fear Allah azza wa jal. And halfway through that year, there is also the month Rajab, in which you also remind yourself of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the month of Muharram, there is a day that Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I have never seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so cautious to fast that day as much as that day in the month of Muharram, which we refer to it as Ashura. Ashura. What does Ashura mean? Ashura derives from the word Ashura. Ashura derives from the word Ashura. What does Ashura mean? Ashura means 10. Ashura means the 10th. The 10th of what? The 10th of Muharram. The 10th of Muharram, which is the month that we're in right now. What's so significant about the 10th of Muharram? What's so special about that day? That day is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he migrated to Medina, he saw the Jews fasting the 10th of Muharram. So he asked the Jews, what do you fast this day for? So they said, it is the day that God saved Musa from Fir'aun, and it is the day that Allah destroyed Fir'aun. So if Musa thanked Allah, for his bounty upon him by saving him from Fir'aun and drowning Fir'aun, and he fasted that day, and therefore we fast that day. Who said that? The Jews. So the Jews used to fast Ashura, and till this day they fast Ashura. Especially the Orthodox ones amongst them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, why do you fast the tenth of Muharram, Ashura? They said, it is the day that Allah saved Musa from Fir'aun, and he drowned Fir'aun, and Musa thanked Allah, and he fasted that day, so therefore we thank Allah and we fast that day. So what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam say? He said, we have more rights over Musa than you. We have more rights over Musa than you. And therefore, we're going to fast that day. And not only that day, we're even going to fast a day before it. We're even going to fast a day before it. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted that day. And he encouraged all the companions to fast that day. And he said, if Allah keeps me alive next year, I will fast a day before it. But yet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away before the following year came. Which shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some knowledge of how soon he will be dying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, if I'm going to be alive next year, I'll fast the day before it. Just to show that we care about Musa more than the Jews. And we have rights over Musa more than the Jews. And Musa is from us, not from them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا. Ibrahim was not a Jew. No, he was a Christian. ولكن what? ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. He was a Hanif. He was a pure Muslim. And the same thing applies to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam did not come to call people to Judaism. No, that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi salam came to call people to Christianity. He came to call people to the monotheism of Islam, to worship no one but Allah, and to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to him from the Torah. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, we have more rights over Musa. And if Musa thanked Allah for saving him from Fir'aun that day, we will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So we're going to fast Ashura, and not only that, we'll even fast a day before it. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to fast the 10th of Muharram. Because it is the day that Allah Azza wa Jalla saved Musa from Fir'aun, and Musa thanked Allah for that day and he fasted it. So it is our right, and it is our right over Musa and the right of Musa over us to fast that day and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving Musa from Fir'aun and the oppression of Fir'aun. And to be different from the Jews, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I will be living next year, and I would also fast a day before it Tasu'a. So that's why, my brothers and sisters, the day of Ashura is an important day for all Muslims. The Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I did not see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more cautious and aware to fast any day as much as the day of Ashura. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say about the significance of the day of Ashura? He also said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I could see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive a previous year of sins. So not only that we do that, to remember that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa from Fir'aun, and to thank Allah azza wa jal for that, but it is also a great and significant reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive a past year of sins. And when we talk about a past year of sins, we are referring to the minor sins, not the major sins. The minor sins, not the major sins. As take it as a law, nothing and absolutely nothing will wipe the major sins except repentance. Nothing and absolutely nothing will wipe the major sins except repentance. Even some scholars say even the Hajj does not even wipe the major sins except repentance. Repentance is the one that wipes the major sins. And other scholars say Hajj does wipe the major sins, but major sins such fasting the day of Ashura. Another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, fasting the day of Arafah, Allah will forgive a past year and a upcoming year. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that. What sins is he referring to? The majority of scholars say it is the minor sins. The minor sins, not the major sins. And the scholars also say that even though that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that about Ashura, the day of Arafah is greater than the day of Ashura. The day of Arafah is greater than the day of Ashura, to the ahadith the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about it, and the different references the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned about the day of Arafah. After the day of Arafah is the day of Ashura, which we are about a week away from it. When is Ashura? Ashura, my brothers and sisters, is next Thursday. Ashura is next Thursday.
which is the 16th of December.
Next Thursday will be Ashura. And on Wednesday, the 15th of December, will be Taswa. So the Sunnah is that you fast Wednesday and Thursday, which is next Wednesday and next Thursday.
This is the ultimate Sunnah.
If you cannot fast 2 days, then the most important day that you fast is Ashura, which is the 16th of December, which is next Thursday. So put that as a very important day for you next week, that you fast the day of Ashura, so you could obtain the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you fasting the day of Ashura, to remember the day that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, we have more rights over Musa than you, than the Jews, which is the day that Allah saved Musa from the aggression of Fir'aun, and Musa thanked Allah for that, so he fasted that day, and therefore we fast that day to remember that time. So this is with regards of Ashura. Ashura is in this great month, the month of Muharram. And it's been recommended to fast whatever you can fast from the month of Muharram. If you could fast the whole month, then it's good. If you can't fast the whole month, then fast whatever you can fast from this month. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no better month to fast in after the month of Ramadan than the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Muharram. And that's the month we're in now. Today is the 3rd of Muharram. So we are already 3 days into this great month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this beautiful month that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to fast in. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam referred to it as the month of Allah, and he referred to it as a month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is the greatest month after the month of Ramadan. See, my brothers and sisters, how important it is for us to know and to be aware of the month and the Islamic calendar and how it operates and how it works. It's very important for us. If I did not know what is the Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, the 10th of Muharram will go past my life and I don't even know the significance of that day. That's why, my brothers and sisters, it is important that I follow the Islamic calendar. I know the different events that take place in those months. I also understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or how Allah azza wa jalla created those 12 months. And within those 12 months, there are 4 sacred months. And those 4 sacred months, it is Rajab, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. The year begins with a sacred month, Muharram. And it ends with a sacred month, Dhul Hijjah. These are the months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تُظْلِمُوا فِإِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not oppress yourselves. Even though oppressing yourself at any time, at any moment, it's haram. But Allah azza wa jalla emphasized, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborated on the importance of you not oppressing yourself in those months. And you not committing any haram or committing corruption in those months. That's how important for us to know. And it's important for us to make our children aware. It is part of our identity, my brothers. It is part of us, my sisters in Islam. It is part of who we are as Muslims. It is part of our religion. And that's why, let us not just get dragged with the worldly things and the other things in this dunya and forget about important things in our lives. And if you do not know, or if you do not know the month or the Islamic months off by heart, tonight is your night that you should go and learn. Learn them and remember there are 12 months. It begins with Muharram, it ends with Dhul Hijjah. And it is Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, Jamad al-Ula, Jamad al-Thani, then Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. Follow each month. Now when is the beginning of each month? Now is the 3rd of Muharram. Soon inshaAllah Safar will enter. Beginning of Safar, the end of Safar, beginning of Rabi' al-Awwal, the end of Rabi' al-Awwal. Remember what remarkable and memorable moments and events took place in those months. The tenth of Muharram is the month. It is the month of Muharram. It is the month of Allah, and the 10th of Muharram, it is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa. In Rabi' al-Awwal, also other events that took place. The birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Rabi' al-Awwal. The death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Rabi' al-Awwal. The migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam was in Rabi' al-Awwal. The battle of Badr in Ramadan. The battle of Uhud you know, the battle of Khandaq, the battle of Khaybar. Learn that yourself and teach that to your kids. Let your kids revolve and let the kids live their lives around that. You find people these days, even Muslims, look forward to the New Year's. Everyone knows when a New Year's Eve is on. Everyone knows when a Christmas is on. Everyone knows when the Easter is on. And these have got nothing to do with our religion. None of them have got anything to do with them. But when it comes to the Islamic calendar, you find ourselves, even amongst the religious ones, that even know them. We don't even know that the beginning of an Islamic Hijri year began. We don't even know the first month of the Islamic year. We don't even know the last or the final month of the Islamic year. We don't even know where Rajab is at. We don't even know what's before Ramadan. We don't even know what's after Ramadan. And this is not a good sign of us protecting our identity, especially us Muslims who live in the West. We need to preserve our identity. We need to preserve our Islamic identity and who we are. We are Muslims, regardless we live in the West or not. But at the end of the day, I have my religion and I have my identity. And this identity I need to preserve. And it is my duty as a Muslim. And it is my duty as one who is on the surface of this earth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us, khulafa, responsible people on the surface of this earth, to preserve this identity, to preserve who we are, what we are, and what we believe in. That's why, my brothers and sisters, let us take this lesson as a lesson, inshaAllah, to preserve our Islamic calendar, to preserve the importance of us having our own Islamic calendar and our own Islamic events, monitoring the Islamic months, the beginning of each month, when it entered and when it ended, the importance of the events that took place, the Islamic events and historical moments that took place in those months and those years. Remember the Hijra year. What Hijra year are we in? How many years between us and the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrating to Medina? The time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's death. Remember all this. This is us, and for us to preserve, and for us to teach our kids. And it is a responsibility. It is a responsibility and a right of our children upon us. A right of our children upon us, that we need to teach our children this. Our kids need to know that. But if we do not know, how are we going to teach? فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يَعْطِي. If I don't have, how am I going to give? If I don't have, how am I going to give? If I don't know, how am I going to teach? So let myself know and learn. Let tonight be, inshallah, an awakening call for us to know, understand that, and teach our kids. And follow it. Follow it. Month by month. Day by day. What Hijra day am I in now? Today is the 3rd of Muharram. Tomorrow is the 4th of Muharram. Next month is Safar. This year is the 1432 Hijra. When Ramadan is coming. All this is important for me, and important for me to always to keep a watch of and be aware of and alert, and not to get sleep over it. If we're gonna destroy or neglect things like that, then slowly we'll start neglecting who we are. So it's important for us to preserve our Islamic identity. This identity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for us. This identity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling for. This identity that we should be proud of. This identity that we do not compromise when it comes to it. This identity that I live for. This identity that makes me who I am. This identity that makes me who I look like. This identity that makes me who I behave. This identity that makes me do what I believe is right in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding and to give us the strength to preserve this identity, to preserve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to preserve, to preserve what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fought for and preserved, to preserve what the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had sacrificed and preserved. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a pure and true understanding of that. Allahumma ij'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. With 15 minutes left, inshallah, I'll start taking questions from the brothers. And inshallah, if you have any questions relating to this topic or not, adamma, inshallah. Start with the brother. Okay, meanings. Okay, a lot of them don't have just a meaning. A lot of the months don't have a meaning. Muharram means sacred. Safar means something. Rabi', but like Islamic meanings from behind it or Islamic events, these names exist before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they might have an Arabic meaning to them, okay, some historical moments that took place in the pre-Islamic era. Like Ramadan, they say it's because during the time of Hajj, and that's when then the camels used to settle, and when the camels settle at that moment, they call it Ramadan, so they called it Ramadan. Okay? Dhul Hijjah is referring to the month because it's a month of Hajj. Muharram because it is sacred and it's the beginning of the year. Yeah, so a lot of them might have some Islamic essence to it, and a lot of them just have an Arabic traditional thing before the Arabs. But it's important for me to know when the month begins, when it ends, just to know, so I could know that I'm living with that. So when events go past, like Ashura, doesn't go past in front of me without me realizing. You know, just a Hijra year began, a lot of us probably did not even know that a new Hijra year began. But every single one of us knows when 2011 will begin. And there is no way, there is no way on the surface of this earth that you go past someone and tell them, do you know 2011 began last week? Is it true? Everyone knows. Everyone knows when 2011 will begin and everyone knows when 2010 began. And there is no way on the surface of this earth that anyone will forget or be negligent or be unaware when the new year begins. But when it comes to the Islamic calendar, no one even knows when it began, when it didn't begin. You know, what's happening now, what's not happening. How many Muslims know that this is the month of Muharram? Not just from us, the ones who are born here. Even us, the ones who are born overseas, don't even know the month of Muharram. Don't even know what's the Safar, what's Rabi' al-Awwal. You know, even, you know, in the Muslim countries, they've changed, you know, the actual solar calendar. They've even made they've just translated it to Arabic. Yul, Yud, Jun, Yud, you know, December, the same. You know, and you know, Ikhwani, wallahi, do not belittle the importance of preserving the Islamic calendar in our lives. Do not belittle that. Believe me, that's one of the plans and plots of the enemies of Islam, for us to forget that. Because if we forget that, if you forget the day you were born, what happens? You're lost. Can you imagine if you forget the day you were born? You are lost. So if, you know, what's more important is to know, you know, what's more important is to know when is Ramadan, when is Muharram, when is Dhul Qa'dah, when is Dhul Hijjah, when is the day of Arafah, when is Ashura. If I'm not gonna know when these days are, then I'm lost. If I'm lost within my life, and that's enough, if I'm lost within my life, I'll find that hard. How about when I'm lost within my religion? That's why it's important for us to preserve that. And there is nothing wrong with following the other calendar. There is nothing wrong with following the solar calendar. Don't go from here today and say, you know what, I'm going to cancel all my calendars. From today, I'm not going to say December, I'm going to go with Muharram and Safar. No, ya akhi, stick with that, no problems. But at the same time, acknowledge the other one. Remember there is one on the side, okay, that's part of your life. That's something within you. That's something in you. Not something outside, that's something within you. That's something part of your life and part of your religion. Amir. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of fasting after the month of Ramadan is the fasting of the month of Allah Muharram. So the scholars say, it is recommended to fast as much as you can in this month. Whether all of it, or 90% of it, or 80% of it, or day yes, day no, or even if just one day. Whatever you can. Whatever you can. Even though there is no narration that's been narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted the whole month of Muharram, they encourage people to fast it. If you can fast it, fast it. If you could fast half of it, fast half of it. If you could fast all of it, fast all of it. If you could only fast a day, which is Ashura, alhamdulillah. Whatever you can do. Now, any other question? No, the one behind you. Okay, you've already got your turn. Okay, if I can't fast Taswa, which is the day before Ashura, can I fast a day after Ashura? Some of the scholars, or a lot of them, do say yes. You know, on that, even some of them encourage that you fast Taswa, Ashura, the day after. Some scholars encourage 3 days. But the most important day out of all is Ashura. If I could only fast that day, I fast that day. Some people are going to say to me, but Sheikh, I still have days from Ramadan that I have not made. I have not made up. Okay, I've got 2 or 3 days from Ramadan I have not made up. Can I still fast? Fast it and make up those other days. Fast Ashura. There's nothing wrong with fasting Ashura. and that's 2 or 3 days that you missed out on Ramadan. You could make them up after Ramadan. Another question. Okay. What you've missed in Ramadan, is it fard or sunnah? Fard. Ashura, is it fard or sunnah? Sunnah. So the one you missed in Ramadan is fard. Ashura is sunnah. Take it as a law. You cannot combine fard or sunnah. You cannot combine fard or sunnah. Fard is up here, sunnah is under it. You can't take the fard to the level of sunnah. Okay? You know that you could combine 2 fard together. But you could combine 2 sunnah together. You could combine 2 sunnah together. So for example, next Thursday is Ashura. And it's also Thursday. Today we delayed the lesson because we have a lot of brothers, may Allah reward them. They break their fast. Why? Because they fast Mondays and Thursdays. And it is sunnah to fast Mondays and Thursdays because the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to fast Mondays and Thursdays. And he said there are the days that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jal looks at the records of His servants. Next week you could combine 2 intentions. Intention of Ashura and intention of fasting the day Thursday. Combining 2 sunnah together, it's okay. I walk into the mosque and it's already Adhan al-Isha. Adhan Isha has been called and I walked into the mosque. I want to pray 2 rak'ah tahiyyat al-masjid, greeting of the mosque. And I also want to pray 2 rak'ah sunnat al-Isha before the Isha. The 2 rak'ah before Isha. I could pray 2 rak'ah with the intention of 2. Because they are both sunnah. But fard, I cannot combine fard with sunnah. Nor that I could combine fard with fard. So I walk into Salat al-Asr and I miss down Salat al-Dhuhr. And I say I'm going to intend to pray this 4 rak'ah for Asr and Dhuhr. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You know, if I owe you $2,000, I'll give you $1,000 and I'll tell you, look, you know, this is for that and the other one. It doesn't work. Okay? So, these are, the fard is a debt for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fard is a debt for Allah azza wa jal. So take it as a principle in your life. You cannot combine fard with fard. You cannot combine fard with sunnah. But you could only combine sunnah with sunnah. So going back on the question of the brother, I missed out on a day in Ramadan, which is fard. And I want to fast the day of Ashura, which is sunnah. Can I have 2 intentions with 1? No. Can I have 2 intentions with 1? No. Because 1 is fard, the other one is sunnah. That was good, just inshallah for the future. I had that question even at Hajj. Can I intend with tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-wada? Okay, tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-wada, which is the obligatory tawaf with the farewell tawaf. Even that some scholars say that it's okay for the sake of making easy on people. But according to the majority of scholars, no, because tawaf al-ifada is fard. Tawaf al-wada' is wajib. So you can't combine something higher with something lower. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Naam, any other question? We still have 5 foot. Naam. Okay. This 12 months, yes? From amongst those 12 months, there are 4 sacred months. Now, Ramadan is more sacred than those 4. Okay, Ramadan is more sacred than those 4, but its sacredness is different. Those 4 sacred months is Rajab, which is the 7th month. Rajab. 2 months before Ramadan. Rajab, what comes after Rajab? Sha'ban, then Ramadan, then Shawwal. Okay? Then Dhul-Qa'dah is sacred months, the 11th month. Dhul-Hijjah is a sacred month, and Muharram is a sacred month. So the 7th month, the 11th month, the 12th month, and the 1st month. If you want to go by order, the 1st, 7th, 11th, 12th. 1st, 7th, 11th, 12th. Okay? And Allah Azza wa Jalla made the beginning of a year a sacred month. The end of the year, a sacred month. For what? For a reason. For a reason. This is to purify our souls. What the Arab used to do, they used to have something called the nasi'ah. What did they used to have? An-nasi'ah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيُّ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Arab. You know, and unfortunately Arab have these qualities in them, been shifty. And they were shifty back then. The Arab back then, the sacredness of those 4 months, or those 4 months being sacred, are from the teachings of Ibrahim. And a lot of the teachings of Ibrahim were
influenced, or they influenced a lot of those of Arab, even to the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Islam, the Arab used to have those 4 months as sacred months, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid us from fighting in those months, to declare war, only for the darura or defense. But to go and initiate war or invasion, it's haram. Naam. And the Arab knew that. That's one of the things that the Arab used to do. But what did the Arab used to do? The Arab, if they found a good opportunity to invade a tribe in one of those 4 months, like for example, Dhul Qa'dah, what do? They'll invade them in Dhul Qa'dah, then they'll make it up for another month in Safar, or Rabi al-Awwal, or Rabi al-Thani, you know? So they used to make a nasi. It's like, you know, okay, we want to invade tribe A, but it's during the month of Muharram, it's during the month of Muharram, for example, a sacred month. So what do they do? Okay, we'll invade them in this month, but we'll make it up in the next month, Safar or Rabi al-Awwal. We will not fight anyone that month. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةً فِي الْكُفْرِ. You know, this procedure is kufr. Why are you trying to play games on Allah azza wa jal? You know, Allah forbid you in this month. Why? You want to go, commit haram in that month and make it up for Allah in the other month? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Karim, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةً فِي الْكُفْرِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent one of the expeditions, and I recall maybe Abdullah ibn Jahsh sallallahu alam. Okay, when he sent one of the companions to go and fight, they while in their expedition, while in their journey, the month of Muharram, the month of Ashur al-Hurum entered. One of the month of Ashur al-Hurum entered. So what did they did? They killed someone. So the Arabs start to speak bad of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this man, does not even respect the sacred month. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran al-Kareem, that fighting in those months haram, but the kufr is worse than that. Kufr is worse than that. You know, upholding kufr is worse than that. So in Islam, if there is a darura, yes, but that darura goes back to the scholar or goes back to the khalifa to decide on. But what's more important, if you know, even in Ashur al-Hurum, okay, Muslims should not initiate an invasion. But if there is a darura for that, let it be. Okay, kufr is greater than that. To uphold the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than that. So that was one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt pressure. You know, people were looking down at him at that time, using those rumors against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how Muhammad fights in Ashur al-Hurum. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he says that kufr is worse than that. And Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, gave the ruling different to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Naam. Any other question, inshallah? We've got 2 or 3 minutes. If anyone has a question, please ask. Naam, akhi. What's the best way to keep your heart connected? Wallahi, لقد سألت عن عظيم. Okay, وإنه ليسير لمن يسأل الله عليه. Okay, when one of the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ a similar question, he said, you've asked about a great question, a significant question, but it is easy for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy on. Obviously, connecting your heart to Allah Azza wa Jalla, the best way to connect yourself to Allah Azza wa Jalla, there's a lot of ways. And this is the beauty of Islam. The beauty of Islam, Jazakallah khair. The beauty of Islam is that the concept of getting close to Allah is not restricted to one way. The concept of getting close to Allah is not restricted to one way. But the most important thing is a pure heart. That's the most important thing. Maybe someone could be praying, maybe someone could be fasting, but the heart is not pure. Maybe the heart is not pure. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many times a man or a woman who pray and fast a lot are mentioned in front of him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they go into the hellfire. Maybe, why? Because they harmed this person, or she locked up a cat, or she harmed her neighbors, or he said this, or he did that. So subhanAllah, a clean heart is the most important thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Only those who come with a clean heart. What's important that a clean maha? Clean maha with what? First and most important thing is a clean maha from the shirk. Anything to do with shirk. Okay? Clean my heart from relying on anyone but Allah Azza wa Jal. Clean my heart from any hatred or grudge against any Muslim. This is one of the hardest things that Muslims these days, even at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, even found it hard when Abdullah ibn Amr said, wallahi, when he told that companion, that the companion said, the only thing I do is that I clean my heart from any grudge against any Muslim before I go to sleep. After he was, you know, wants to know what's so special about him. And he said, you know, not many people do that. You know, these are the things, subhanAllah, some people beat us into the Jannah because of a clean heart. Clean heart, pure heart, and not having grudges, not having doubts on others, not, you know, like, you know, keeping grudge and hatred towards any Muslim. And this is, you find, this is the biggest problem in this ummah, you know. And I'm talking, you know, from myself and onwards, you know, we have this problem of having something in our hearts and so on. So a clean heart is the most important thing to connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah azza wa jalla, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure, only accepts pure. You know, Allah is pure and only accepts pure. And as I mentioned, the beauty of this religion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just make His way to get to Him just through the salah, or just through fasting. There's a lot of ways to get to Allah azza wa jalla. Obviously there is the standard of the fara'id and that. But with you good manners, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not seen something more heavier on the scale than the good manners. You know, wallahi, you find, subhanAllah, amongst the shabab, or amongst the, you know, amongst the religious ones, sometimes they focus on things like this brother trimmed his beard, or this brother has got, and then when it comes to manners, they don't focus on it. When the manners is one of the most important things, your akhlaq and your manners and morals towards your other Muslim brothers, even to the kafir, not only to the kafir. You know, you find, you know, sometimes religious brothers, they see someone going in front of them, they say, oh, look at this dog, or look at this scumbag, or look at this. This is not from your akhlaq. Aren't you supposed to be, when I get to the close to Allah Azza wa Jal? Clean your heart with Allah, clean your heart by having the best of manners. And when you say the best of manners, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guaranteed, or Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about a Jewish, or a woman from Bani Israel, they used to commit prostitution. Like, you know, how heavy is that? And then he said she's going to the Jannah because she fed a thirsty dog. Yani having mercy on an animal, yani subhanAllah, if Islam tells you have mercy on an animal, what about a human being? Even if he's a kafir. So subhanAllah, sometimes, you know, we misunderstand the deen in some areas. We think, you know, just getting close to Allah Azza wa Jal is just, you know, by praying and fasting to Him. Getting close to Allah through your family, akhi. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the best of dollar that you spend is a dollar that you spent on your family. You know, getting close to through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking after each other, by giving a smile, putting a smile on your children, through your parents. You know, how many people, mashallah, they pray and fast and read the Quran al-Kareem, and the mom and dad are cursing them during the day and night. You know, I've seen that and I've heard that. You know, where's getting close to Allah? How are you going to get close to Allah knowing that your parents are cursing you? You know, because of your attitude, or because of your akhlaq, or because of your hada. So alhamdulillah, the beauty of Islam is that we could be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through many other things. You know, there's a lot of ways that we could get connected to Allah azza wa jalla. And obviously Allah uses everyone differently. What Allah uses you for is different to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses others. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a companion is different to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used another companion. Yani that companion, when the Prophet alayhi sallam was sitting in a gathering and he said, now a person from the people of the paradise will enter the mosque. The companions thought it's Abu Bakr that's going to walk in, or Umar that's going to walk in, or it's Ali that's going to walk in, or Uthman that's going to walk in. Who walked in? A humble bloke that no one never seen before. Who's this guy, you know? Everyone was shocked out of all people here, Minhada. That's the first time we'll see this guy. You know, he walked in, you know, just an ordinary person no one knew of. He's the wetness and the water of his wudu was dripping down. And then the next day the Prophet ﷺ said the same thing. Everyone's looking, who's this person? It's the same young man walks in. And the third day the same young man. SubhanAllah, what's so special about this person? Yani everyone was expecting it's gonna be Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman, those great companions who have history in Islam, those who sacrificed, those who did, those who done. And then Abdullah ibn Amr wanted to know what's so special about him, so he went to his house and monitored him for 3 days. And then he told him, look brother, I want to know what's so special about you. He said, he realized there's nothing special about me. Nothing extra that prayers that I do, nothing. And because the Sahaba thought that the Prophet ﷺ gave him a special dua, that he's the only one that knows of. You know, that's what they thought. And maybe this man done something between him and the Prophet ﷺ that no one knows of. And you know, the Prophet ﷺ gave him a special dua that it's only for him, and that's why he's obtained Jannah guaranteed 3 times, 3 days in the public by the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. You know, what a guarantee. But at the end of the day, this man says, you know, there's nothing special that you see in me or that I do, but there's one thing I'll do before I go to sleep. I'll take out of my heart any grudge against Muslims. SubhanAllah, because of that, this man had been guaranteed Jannah. Not because, wallah, he does the qiyam, and not because he does the siyam. Because he takes that grudge out of his heart against any Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in 3 days
conspicuous days, 3 days after each other, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will guarantee him Jannah. So subhanAllah, ikhwani, this sometimes, you know, there's actions that we belittle, you find them that there's actions that take us to the Jannah. There's actions that we belittle and we look down at and we think we are bigger than, they are the actions that subhanAllah, they are the ones that take us, you know, that could be the way for us to the Jannah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was spoken to him in front of him, a woman that prays the night, fast the day, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said she's going to the hellfire. What do you mean? We just told you she prays the night, fast the day, pays Allah of zakat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said she harms her neighbors. Harms, subhanAllah. All this in front of that little thing, harming your neighbor. You know, like what harming your neighbor? Like, you know, sometimes you put the Quran out loud early in the morning, you're saying, you know, I don't even give a damn who's next door to me. That's harming your neighbor. Yes, that's harming your neighbor. You know, and Nabi Sassam says she's harming their name, she's going to the hellfire. Another lady in front of him was mentioned that she prays normal, fast normal, pays a little bit, you know, just what she does, the normal standard Muslim. Nabi Sassam, she's going to the Jannah. Why? She is good to her neighbors. SubhanAllah, look at those things. You know, like how many times, you know, I focus on, I want to pray the night, I want to fast the day, which is good. Read the Quran, which is good. But how many times do we say, what about my neighbor? You know, what am I going to do for my neighbor today? How many times do we say, what am I going to do for my mom and dad today? You know, how many times do we say that, you know? For subhanAllah, what am I going to do for, you know, for these little things that we belittle? That are the little things that we find them. You know why? I'll tell you why. As one of the scholars said, those things, subhanAllah, it's got something for the nafs to do. Because those things are things that give you pride. Those are things that give you show off. You know, and you pray the night, you fast the day. These things can give you pride. That's why we've grabbed onto them. But those things that, you know, visiting a neighbor, or looking after an ill person, or taking something grudge out of the heart, these things don't give us that pride. These things don't give us that show off. And that's why we belittle them. You know, that's why we belittle them. For ikhwani, you know, those little things are the things that we need to grab onto. Wallah, how beautiful that hadith is. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting down and he said, I always forget them, but they'll remind the brothers. Who visited an ill person today? So who jumped up and said that? I did that, O Messenger of Allah? Abu Bakr. And then he said, who followed a janazah? And then Abu Bakr said, I did that, O Messenger of Allah. And then he said, amongst you who fasted today? Mahek? Fasted. Yeah, and then Abu Bakr said, O me, O Messenger of Allah. And the fourth one was, who? Huh? Okay, fed the poor. Who fed the poor? Who fasted today? Who followed the janazah? And the last one is visited the sick. And Abu Bakr is the one that jumped and said, oh me, a messenger of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, anyone that does those four in one day, Allah will give him the Jannah. Abu Bakr did that before he knew that Allah will give him the Jannah. And look at the amazing part of it, you know. Abu Bakr did not wait for the Prophet ﷺ to tell him that if you do that, you do the Jannah. Abu Bakr did that, and he's been doing that before he even knew that's the way to the Jannah. But there are the little things that sometimes we belittle. You know, like, you know, visiting the sick or grave. Or, you know, what are these things? You know, they're too little for us. We like the big stuff, you know. We like to be the ones that pray the night and fast the day, which is good. But don't belittle the other things too. You know, don't belittle a smile, you know, a smile that could, you know, change someone to the deen. I liked what one of the brothers once said. He said, subhanAllah, we always talk about how many people we brought to the deen, but we don't talk about how many people we made run away from the deen, you know. We talk about how many people we brought to the deen, you know, because of our good actions. But we never think about how many people we made run away from the deen because of our bad actions. You know, those little things that we belittle, you know, these are the things, subhanAllah, that sometimes could be your way to the Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say to the female sahabiyat? He said, do not disgrace or do not look down at a little thing that you give to your neighbor. Even if it's just the water of the food, just give it. You know, don't look down at something like that. You know, the Muslim should be complete. We should be complete, not grab one corner and forget about another corner. You know, and this is dangerous in Islam. This is dangerous when we grab one thing and forget about another thing. We think that we are pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal by disobeying Him. We think that we are pleasing Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala through the wrong thing. Islam is a complete circle. complete circle in every aspect of your life. This is the beauty of Islam. It didn't just cover your aspect between you and Allah, between you and Allah, between you and your wife, between you and your kids, between you and your parents, between you and your brothers, between you and your neighbors, between you and your Muslim brothers, between you and the non-Muslims, between you and the animal, between you and the tree. Look how far Islam taught us. You know, taught us everything, how to deal with everyone. Perfect way of life. But as a Muslim, I should grab onto all, not what I see. That's something that I like. You know, and that's why, you know, subhanAllah, when you look how the Prophet ﷺ taught the Sahaba, like, you know, his teachings are amazing. Like, you know, there's three young men that come to his house and ask about his worship. That's, you know, every time I think about it, it just surprises me. Three young men will go to the house of the Prophet ﷺ and knock on the doors of the Prophet ﷺ's house, and the wife of the Prophet ﷺ will come out. And then they ask, how's the Prophet in the house? You know, they've seen him outside, what he does outside the house. They want to know what he does inside the house. You know, at least a third of his life is inside the house. So they want to know what's inside the house. They came with the expectation, you know, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't talk to anyone, just grabs into that corner, prays, doesn't speak to anyone. And then the wife of the Prophet ﷺ will say to them, no, he walks in, he sits down with us, intermingles with us, socializes with us. The hadith says, وَكَأَنَّهُمْ أَقَالُوا, they found it too little to what they expected. They expected it to be something else. Then they said, you know what, how could we compare ourselves to the Prophet ﷺ? One of them said, you know what, the way I'm going to please Allah is I'm going to fast every day. The other one said, the way I'm going to please Allah is I'm going to pray every night. The other one said, the way I'm going to please Allah is not get married. That time I put for my wife and kids, I put it for Allah. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard that, he said, by Allah, I fear Allah most. If you think you fear Allah, I fear Allah more than you. And I pray some of the night and I sleep some of it. I fast one day and I break another day. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, the Prophet ﷺ used to fast. We say that he's never going to break his fasting. And he never used to fast. I would say, this man doesn't even fast. And you know, he goes to one stage fasting and he goes to a stage where he cools down. And وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّزَاءَ, and I get married to female. And whoever doesn't want to follow my sunnah is not from me. And in the deen, you know, you think, if I was in the position of those youth and I said those statements, I'll think the Prophet ﷺ is going to come and give him a good tap on the shoulder. Good on you. That's what I want from you. Pray all the night. Fast all the day. But the Prophet ﷺ tells you, don't do that. I mean, aren't you supposed to be encouraging me to do that? But Nabi ﷺ sees a way ahead than what you see. Nabi ﷺ knows that this is sometimes from the shaitan. This is sometimes from the shaitan, not from Allah Azza. You think you're pleasing Allah, but Allah doesn't want you this way. You know, how long are you going to last that way? When Abdullah ibn Amr came to the Prophet ﷺ, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Abdullah after he heard, look at this one. The Prophet ﷺ heard that Abdullah ibn Amr is fasting every day. And Nabi went up to him. If I was Abdullah ibn Amr and the Prophet ﷺ found out that I'm fasting every day, I'm expecting the Prophet ﷺ to come with this beautiful smile to me saying, good on ya. This is the man I want to see. And then the Prophet ﷺ comes up to Abdullah ibn Amr and said, I heard that you're fasting every day. What are you doing? Aren't you supposed to be encouraging me? He said, don't fast every day. Fast 3 days. Allahu Akbar, from 30 days to 3? You dropped it from 30 days to 3, 90% of it out? Allah, you know? You expect the Prophet ﷺ to say, you know, that's the man, good on you. I'm very happy from you. Allah please from you. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, no, don't fast. What's this I'm hearing you fasting every day? You fast only 3 days. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi inni aqdar akhtar min thalik. He said, fast Mondays and Thursdays. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inni aqdar min thalik. I could do more than that. The Prophet ﷺ said, then fast one day yes and one day no. And don't go beyond that. Yani, he went down from where? The Nabi ﷺ went down from 100%, he reduced 90%. Then he negotiated again, then he reduced up to 80%. Then the maximum 50%, that's it. From fasting every day, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not fast. One day yes, one day no, and that's a maximum. When Abdullah ibn Amr became old, what did he say? He said, Ya laytani akhadtu bi rukhsati Rasulillah. I wish I listened to the Prophet ﷺ back then. I wish I listened to the Prophet ﷺ. The Nabi ﷺ knows how far you're going to go. The Nabi ﷺ knows how far you're going to go. Yani, it amazes you that you think the Prophet ﷺ will really give a good tap on the shoulders of Abdullah ibn Amr for fasting every day, and yet the Prophet ﷺ told him only fast 3 days. But the Nabi alayhi salatu wants stability. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants steadfastness. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam does not just want your perfection just to be with your salah, but your perfection with your family. Your perfection with your people, your perfection with others, your perfection with, you know, with everything around you. Don't just perfect yourself when it comes to salah, and when you are, when it comes to your manners, you're not perfect. No, perfect, take something from your salah and perfect your manners too. Your manners is as important as your salah. Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa said that one of you will become better than the one that prays at night and fasts the day with his good manners. Who focuses on their good manners the way, you know, you're amazed from the Prophet the way he does it. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked into the house of Aisha, and he had an old lady there, this old lady was talking to the Prophet, talking to Aisha about her prayers at night. And Nabi got angry. Okay, what a shocking thing, I thought you were going to tell me good on you. Then Shah got angry, he said, don't exceed. Because Allah would not turn away from you until you turn away from Him. Wallahi ikhwani, believe it or not, it is sometimes from the shaitan, is the one that tells you, do more, do more. So why? So you could fall quick. Do more, so what? So you could fall quick. You know, I need to balance. I need to balance. Okay, balance with everything. Balance with everything. Something little, constant, better than something big, and you're gonna fall. Something little, constant, better than something big, and fall. And what's more important, ikhwani, than all this? The most important part is not to disobey Allah. The most important part is committing the haram. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس. Keep away from the haram, you'll be the best worshipper. Keep away from the haram, you'll be the best worshipper in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shuf, the best worshipper, the most pious worshipper to Allah is the one that keeps away from the haram. Not the just one that prays and fasts and reads the Quran. The best worshipper is the one that keeps away from the haram. Wallahi akhi, we all have haram in our lives. Let us look into the haram. Whether what we see, or what we hear, or what we speak, or what we touch, or what we walk into. We have some haram in our lives. The haram is a lot more important for me to stop the haram than starting something that, you know, starting all these extra things. So, we need to balance it, ikhwan. We need to balance. And Islam, the religion is not the way I think, and it's not the way you think. It's the way Allah wants us to think. It's not how I want to think, it's not how you want to think. It's the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to think. You know, in one of the expeditions, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with the companions, and they were thirsty and they were fasting. They were fasting and they became so thirsty. So the Prophet alayhi wasallam saw that in their faces. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it easy? You know, the deen is to be, it's ease, not hard. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, break your fast. Everyone break their fast except a group of youngsters. Except a group of youngsters. What did they say? We are strong, we're going to continue fasting. Mate, we are the strong ones. We are the men. What did the Prophet ﷺ say when he heard about that? He said, أُولَٰئِكَ الْعُصَاتِ. That are the disobedient ones. That are the disobedient ones. That are the disobedient ones. You think you're better? It's not how you... Islam is not how you calculate it. It's not how you calculate it. It's the way Allah wants you to do it. It's not how you calculate it, it's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to follow it. Follow it the way Allah wants you to follow it. They thought, they're the strong ones, mate, we are mujahideen, and we are fasting. We're gonna be the best. The Prophet said, you are not the best, you're not a mujahid, you're a asi, you're a disobedient. Don't think you're better than anyone else. Fa ikhwani subhanAllah, Islam is so beautiful, so easy. We sometimes make it hard. We want it to be hard on ourselves. But Islam doesn't want to be hard on you. Islam doesn't want it. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ad-deenu yusr. Ad-deenu yusr. Religion is easy. Walaysa usr, it's not hard. Wala yushahad ad-deen ahadun illa ghalaba. No one that wants to overpower the religion. If the religion is up to him. Don't think you could get over it. This is what Islam is up to. Don't think if you want to get over it, what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Islam will kick you out. Islam will throw you out. Don't think you could override it. You know, subhanAllah, in our time and era, ikhwan, this, we've got two extremes. One extreme that wants everything halal, one extreme that wants everything haram. These are the extremes that we have. One that does not want to be lenient at all, and one wants to be lenient in everything. Ya akhi, no, balance. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Be balanced. The deen is all about being balanced. there's areas we need to be harsh, and there's areas we need to be lenient. And you know what? Wallahi, ikhwani, this is knowledge within itself. That's, you know, the balance of that is knowledge. Knowledge is the one that teaches you how to balance. When it's time for harshness, or when it's time to be lenient. If you're harsh in a moment where you, if you are lenient in a moment where you have to be harsh, you're disobeying Allah. And if you are lenient in a moment where you need to be harsh, you're also disobeying Allah. You need to balance. Harsh in a moment of being harsh. Lenient in a moment to be lenient. How do you balance that? Knowledge. That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas said, by Allah, it is a lot more harder for the shaitan to deceive one alim than deceiving 1,000 worshippers. 1,000 worshippers. Shuf. 1,000 worshippers, those who pray and fast and read the Quran and this and that, it's a lot more easier for shaitan to play around with them, 1,000 of them, than come into alam. Why? Knowledge is shield. Knowledge is shield against the shaitan. Knowledge is protection. Knowledge is preservation. Knowledge is the strongest weapon against the shaitan. That's why, ikhwani, learn. Always seek knowledge. Learn. And that's a way to get close to Allah. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are those equal, those who know and those who don't know? يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُ مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah elevates those who believe from amongst you and those who have knowledge. Those who have knowledge. And obviously knowledge with practice, يعني. Not just knowledge. Knowledge with practice. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. جزاكم الله خير.
To listen to or download more Islamic lectures, please visit www.islamicmedia.com.au.